Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. Glad you could be with us this week. The Journey of Hope is a very special podcast that's designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And today we have a very special program. Mr. Rick Morgan is going to be on the show today. You want to be sure and stay tuned for that. Rick Morgan coming up right after this on The Journey of Hope. Started today, I want to remind you that we love hearing from you, love getting those emails. Rose and I both do. And you can catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Be sure to drop us a line. Trying not to reach out, but when I tried to speak out, felt like no. Mr. Rick Morgan on the phone with me. Rick is the author of The Keys, the textbook to a successful life, which was nominated for a Pulitzer in 2009, by the way. Rick, how are you?
I'm terrific, thank you. And by the way, the book is being revised and renamed and will come out sometime between mid-June.
Okay.
So you can go and look for that revision at that time.
Well, we'll be sure and keep some links and keep the links current for you so the listeners can find it. Rick, let's start off just a little bit with a little bit of information about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write a Pulitzer-nominated book. How'd all that happen?
Well, I just wrote a book. I didn't know it would be nominated for a Pulitzer Prize when they called. It took several minutes to get me up off of the floor when they told me what it was about.
Wow.
I just sat down and wrote a book based upon something that I have been speaking about for a number of years as a professional speaker. I've been a professional speaker now for 38 years. I've spoken to 3 million people live and on television and radio. I have started 21 corporations. The first was when I was 16. And one morning, the desire came to me to write the book, and it's based upon a principle called KISS, Keep It Simple and Smart. It's not a very big book. It's only 84 pages long, and it's designed to teach people how to live a more simple, sane, and simple, sane, and smart life.
Okay.
And, well, and get rid of the trash that they're living in and clean up their lives, basically.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this KISS system, the K-I-S-S. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Tell us about that.
Well, it's based upon 3 major keys. The first one is thought. Thought is the most important thing there is in our lives. What goes on between our ears is the most important thing in making decisions, in processing, in making career decisions, and making family decisions. And so that chapter teaches you how to think, what we think, how to change that to make it easier to think. And we complicate the thought process when we really don't have to. It's a very simple process to begin with. Then the second key is called choice. And it's basically just about as important. If you were to draw a diagram where the three major keys were shown, they basically cover each other because they're that important to each other. And choice is where we make those choices based upon what we think. We make 1,000 choices a day and really give very little thought to them. We decide about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. But there are other choices that we need to make that are definitely more difficult, and we need to go through that process of learning how to make more difficult decisions, how to hold to those, what to do if you fail. I love failure. As a matter of fact, failure is a great thing as far as I'm concerned, and most people are afraid of it. But I like to make a choice, and the choice is wrong, because I learned that way. Excuse me. And then the third key is action. We have a lot of people who come up with great ideas. I mean, they have great ideas for a business or a book, or they are making choices and thinking about getting married, raising a family, changing careers, starting a business of their own. But the problem is that they fail to go into action. And that's because a lot of times in life, we allow other people to talk us out of it. I mean, we hear family members tell other people, well, who do you think you are? We don't do that kind of thing. We're not made of that kind of stock. Just, you know, you can forget that because you're going to fail at that. And we buy into that. And the fact is that if you just take one little bit of action at a time, just one little step, you can't go through the process of buying a car in one leap. You have to go look at the different models, the colors, the options, the dealerships, and it's a step-by-step process, and so is action. Then there is a fourth little key that I call the secret key that I really don't talk about on the air because I want to get people involved in reading the book. Mm-hmm. But it basically ties all the other three together and gives them some semblance of unity. And then the second half of the book is a group of lessons, how you can apply these three major keys in your life. And some of the lessons seem rather simplistic. Some of them seem harder than others. Some of them seem a little naive, when in fact, if you're not doing it, it's not naive. And it teaches you how to be a better person, how to think better, how to make better choices, how to go into action, and to create what I call the ideal self. Whenever I'm in trouble, instead of seeking advice from somebody else, a mentor or something, I begin to look at somebody that I have as a private mentor called my ideal self. What would my ideal self do? What would my ideal self say or think, or what kind of choices would it make? And that ideal self is very responsive. It sometimes will lead you in very interesting ways if you follow what that ideal self tells you to do.
Okay. I want to take a couple of steps back here. You were alluding to this idea of using life lessons to improve yourself. And I noticed that on your webpage, you talk about this. I've heard a lot of people talk about this, but here's my question for you. How do you translate something that maybe has gone wrong in your life? And you said that, you know, you were kind of a fan of failure, and I'm assuming that you mean that you can use that as a stepping stone to success. But how does one go about translating something that's gone wrong and turning it to a positive? How do you do that?
Well, it's really very simple. You just recognize the fact that you've got a failure, that you've done something wrong, that the decisions, the direction that you're taking are not right, and that you need to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And those changes will lead you in a better direction. Now, you can find those changes by making better choices, by improving your thinking. You can even go outside of yourself. You can go outside of that ideal self and look for mentors, look for people who have done the same thing and failed, and ask them, what did you do? How did you handle this? Now, this doesn't mean that they have to be mentors for life. They can be mentors for simply a situation. Or you can go read a book about the crisis that you're having. Perhaps you're starting a new business and your accounting practices are not very good. Well, one of the very best things there is in the world is an organization called SCORE, Senior Corps of Retired Executives, run by the SBA.
Mm-hmm.
And these are retired executives who have run businesses or worked for major corporations who volunteer their time, and they are full of information. You can get information from them about accounting, law, marketing, just about anything you can think of. They've got experts on staff, and it's free. That's the most amazing part. I've been using SCORE since I was 16 years old, and that's many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We learned about SCORE and would go to call SCORE and ask, do you have an expert on a particular subject we're having a problem with? And they can help you analyze the failure that you're experiencing and why you are experiencing that failure and what you can do about it based upon the experience they have and other fellow members that volunteer have. You can go to a Rotary Club. You can go to a Lions Club, any place that businessmen gather, and just, you know, go as a guest. You're usually allowed to go as a guest. And bring up during lunch that you're starting a new business and you're having a particular problem and you've failed at something. And does anybody have any suggestions around the table? And you will get unlimited amounts of information from people.
Wow.
You can get information from libraries. So there's tons of places to get information about your failure, why you failed, and what to do to correct it. But I highly recommend SCORE. I talk about it a lot.
Okay. Excellent advice. Hey, listen, we're going to take a real short break. More with Rick Morgan right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. For the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Have you taken up music in your new life as something to do during your downtime? I know a lot of you out there have. I have. I want to tell you about something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And what this does is if you're like a beginner to intermediate player of any kind of instrument, it helps you organize your playing in such a way that you're able to play a whole lot of songs in a bunch of different keys, which makes you more valuable as a player, and it's more fun to jam with people when you can do that. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and the way you find it is you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com, and you click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. angiesbanjo.com is the Jam Buddy Chord Chart.
Why should I keep loving you when I know that you're not true? And why should I call your name when you're the blame or making me blue?
To the town of Alfre who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Hey, Rick, you've got an interesting take on how properly comprehending the truth can help us. Tell us a little bit about that.
We could take the World Trade Center event nearly 10 years ago, and the truth with the capital T is that was just an event. That's all there is to it. Planes hit the World Trade Center, and the World Trade Center collapsed. And that is truth with a capital T. There's no glossing over that. That is an event that happened. If we take the perceived truth, we start adding things like a tragedy. We start adding things like how it's hurting us individually, what it's going to do to our national psyche. We start adding things to it to make it more palatable for us. Because many times people can't handle the truth. It's too harsh. But if you're a person like me who, over time, has been able to learn the truth and understand what the truth means, it just is. That's all the truth means. It just is. It's an event that happened, and that's just it. Back in January, I very nearly died. And there's a lot of things that can go with that in terms of adjectives and adverbs and descriptors of what that event was like. And I came very close to dying within a couple of hours. But the truth was, I nearly died. And that's all there is to it. And while I'm glad I'm still here, and I have things that I know that I need to be doing, the truth was that I nearly died. And had I gone ahead and died, the truth would have been I died. And there's nothing that goes with that. And people can feel bad, people can grieve, and people can mourn, and people can talk about the fact that the life will be different without Rick around, or hooray, Rick is gone, whichever your feelings are about me. But the fact is that the truth is the event happened and nothing more. And once we learn to get rid of the descriptors, once we learn to get rid of the adverbs and adjectives and recognize the truth for what it is, it's just an event. It simplifies life so much that you're never tied up again in, people describing events or whatever have you that maybe you don't even see it the way they see it.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating, Rick. Very, very interesting. I noticed also that you talk a little bit about some common mistakes that people make as they are trying to get themselves uprighted. What would be some of the common mistakes that people make when they try to turn themselves around?
Well, the primary one is learning how to think straight. We are so, we're taught, actually, by members of our own family, our teachers, our ministers. We're kind of lied to. And if we can let go of that and begin to think in very clear fashion, and part of that is grasping the truth. It is the, if I can clear up my thinking from what others believe, what others think, and can see the actual truth of a situation, then I'm going to be able to function better than I can if I keep listening to what other people have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It is the other voice that always gets us in trouble. Everybody has an opinion about what we should do. And the worst thing that you can do in this world is should. You shouldn't should on yourself, you shouldn't should on others, and should others shouldn't should on you.
Hmm.
And if we get rid of that and just do what you're supposed to do, irrespective of what your family thinks, irrespective of what your spouse, your children, if you do the right thing, the thing that's right for you, and you alone, you'll always come out better. Another one is be aware that knowledge is king. If you don't have a particular piece of knowledge, You can find that knowledge anywhere. And the internet has made that a whole lot more pleasant and easy to do. I can remember back when I was writing my master's degree in college. I now have two PhDs, and I use the internet, but back then there was no internet. Mm-hmm. And all of the time that I had to spend in libraries reading others' papers and books and so forth, and I thought, gee, there's got to be an easier way. But I got my papers done, I got my degree, and then when I came to the decision point where I wanted to become a doctorate, it was much easier because I was able to do about 90% of the research for my doctoral thesis on the internet. Mm-hmm. Even going so far as to finding a website, getting in touch with the webmaster on a particular website, asking questions, and they got a hold of their members, and I got tons of letters and articles, and just, you cannot imagine the materials I got simply by doing some searching on the internet. Mm-hmm. And the federal government right now has some of the best websites there are. There's not only, only an organization called SCORE, but you can go on the internet and you can find out about IRS, you can find out about farm subsidies, you can find out about trees. I live next door to a national park. And there's a site online that is about the national park, 520,000 acres of natural wildlife. I can learn about that, and if I see an animal, for example, we have an animal here called a red salamander. I didn't know what a red salamander was, so I was able to go on the web and learn about what a red salamander is and that it's unique to this park. It isn't anywhere else in the United States. So knowledge is king. Knowledge is extremely important. And the more knowledge you can gain, the better off you'll be. And that's a couple. But one of them is just, you know, learn to make better decisions, better choices, and to go into action. Those are the three major keys, and those are the mistakes people make. They just don't do that.
And the internet is very powerful, isn't it? I don't think people just browse the stacks anymore. I don't even know. Do they have card catalogs in libraries anymore? I don't even know. The Dewey Decimal System. What happened to that?
I was in a library not long ago in Indiana that still had card catalogs.
Yeah, I think Dewey Decimal's gone by the wayside. But anyhow.
I'll bet there are people who don't even know what the Dewey Decimal System is.
I'm dating myself, I guess. I don't know. When I was in college, you know, I had to hit the stacks like you did, but now I don't think they do that much. Hey, listen, how do we get a hold of your book? Tell us how to do that.
Well, as I said, the book is in revision and being retitled. It'll go from The Keys, the textbook to a successful life, to KISS, Keep It Simple and Smart. And it'll be available at thegreatkisser.com.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thegreatkisser.com. You can be driving 80 miles an hour down a freeway and remember that email address.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got that one cornered, man. That's great. Okay.
That was one that just sort of fell into my lap. I'm also a professional speaker. If they want to know about my speaking,
okay,
they can go to thekeynotespeaker.net, not .com, .net, thekeynotespeaker.net. And I'm developing a new program that is already selling about what to do if. I'm basing upon two events that have happened to me since January 1st, one of which was nearly die. What do you do with your business? What happens to your family? What happens to the, you know, what if something happens to you? And it can happen to you at any moment. And there was, they were pretty sure that I was, you know, within a couple of hours of dying. Mm-hmm. So then there was another event that's happened since then where the building that I live in, the apartment building, was hit by a truck doing 85 miles an hour.
Nice.
And destroyed part of the building. So then you have to move out because the building is condemned. You have to set up your office somewhere else. And all of these contingencies have to be addressed, and people don't. And they should be an active part of your business plan, something that you're constantly looking at and constantly changing. But the two websites are thegreatkisser.com. It hasn't been changed yet to reflect the new book. And the other one is thekeynotespeaker.net. Or they can reach me simply at Rick, R-I-C, there's no K, Rick at rickmorgan.com. I couldn't get it any simpler than that. I tried.
Rick, I thank you so much for being here today. A lot of useful information. I want to encourage everybody to, and by the way, Rick, we'll have links up when this is posted so my listeners can get to those sites. Rick, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure, and it'd be my pleasure to come back anytime if you need me.
We'd love to do that. My name's Rodney Mathers. You're on the Journey of Hope.
I can feel your body tremble as you wonder what this moment holds in store. Bum, bum, bum. And as I put my arms around you, I can tell you've never been this far before. Bum, bum, bum. I don't know what I'm saying as my trembling fingers touch forbidden places. Bum, bum, bum. I only know I've waited for so long.
That's all we have time for this week. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Rick Morgan, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? See you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.